All right, good afternoon. Once again, this is Tina Sue from the Association of Public Health Laboratories, and thank you for joining us on the April Quality Improvement Forum call. It's titled Increasing Access to Laboratory Training and Education in a Rural State. So today's speaker is Tracy Hoke from the North Dakota Department of Health, Division of Microbiology Laboratory Services, where she has served for 8 years. She is the BT coordinator as well as the biosafety officer for her laboratory. So Tracy, if you're ready, please begin.
Okay, thank you, Tina. Welcome everybody. Thanks for attending today. I'm just gonna jump right into my slides and I will be pretty brief. So if you have questions, I'll be happy to answer them at the end here. Next slide. The objectives for today, we'll go through some of the challenges and issues that we had in transferring our BT wet workshop into an online workshop. We'll kind of discuss some of the planning that went into it and the buy-in that we got from our micro staff here, and as well as some of the participants. We'll go through a few of the accomplishments, the lessons learned, and then what plans we have for the future. Next slide.
Tracy, let me stop you for a second.
Okay.
I can hear some feedback somewhere, so I'm just going to remind folks to put their phone on mute so that we can hear Tracy. Thank you.
Okay, so some of the challenges and issues we identified, I'll just go through a little background information first about North Dakota. The population of North Dakota is 755,000, so we're pretty small as far as population goes. However, our geographic area is pretty large, 70,000 square miles, which puts us at 19th largest in the nation. Just a fun fact that I found when I was researching this, that means there are 9.92 people per square mile of land in North Dakota. I thought that was kind of funny. The state public health lab is here in Bismarck, which is kind of in the south central region of the state. And then we have 18 sentinel laboratories spread throughout the state. And they range from quite large to very, very small. I know some of you probably have gigantic laboratories that you deal with out there. Our largest hospital in the state is Sanford, which is in Fargo on the east side of the state. And that one is 284 beds. And then we have a tiny, tiny one way up north by Canada in Rolla, which is 25, and one in the southwest part of the state that is also 25 beds. So we have quite a spread in numbers. So historically, we hosted a one-day workshop for our Sentinel laboratories. Typically, it was in the fall of each year. And the format was a lecture-based format in the morning. We had lectures on the BT agents, biosafety, and other topics. And then we did the wet part of the workshop in the afternoon. So because of the geographic size of North Dakota and then the location of the public health lab in our state, most people that participated had to arrive for the workshop the day prior, which meant that they would typically spend 2 days out of their lab. And this was definitely an issue for most of the labs because with staffing as it is, it's difficult to allow laboratorians to be gone for 2 working days. And then we also had some space and budget issues at our own lab, and I'll talk about those a little bit more later on. Next slide. So I did a quick price comparison of having an in-person workshop versus the online workshop. And again, this was a pretty quick comparison, and it was based on what I could find of the past year's workshops. For the in-person workshop, we typically hosted a maximum of 20 participants per year. So a budget for that with hotel, mileage, and per diem, that was about $3,400. Class materials were another approximately $500. All of the media and biochemicals that we set up was another $850. PPE was actually pretty cheap, only about $50, I figured. And then the staff here at the lab that helped prep, I estimated that to be about $1,100. So the total was $5,920 a year, approximately. With the online workshop, really we have unlimited enrollment because we're housing all of those courses on the Train platform. And that's also a huge benefit because that platform is free to us. And another huge benefit that we had is that we applied for the APHL grant in 2017, the Development of Preparedness Activities grant, and that really helped us launch and improve our online workshop as well. Really the only cost that we will have going forward is to pay for our PACE credits each year, which is $650 a year. So that's a huge, huge savings right there, about $5,300 a year that we'll save being online versus in person. Next slide. Informally, we kind of began thinking about this and planning right after our 2014 in-person workshop. I felt that we could better suit the training needs of our state and increase participation by moving to an online format. And then after an unfortunate series of events, as you can see here, our former BT coordinator retired in 2015. Our microbiology director resigned in 2015, so we were down by like 3 microbiologists. We were really, really short-staffed and just simply didn't have enough personnel to prepare for an in-person workshop. The time commitment, I estimate that it was about 40 hours of prep time, just hands-on, for at least 2 microbiologists to get this online workshop coordinated and all of the media set up and all of the paperwork done as well. So I had really, really good support, both from our former and our current microbiology directors, to convert this over to an online format. And then I have a really, really good staff. I can't say enough about my staff. They're very helpful. And I had quite a few of them that were actually instructors at MedTech and MLT programs. So they're great teachers and great speakers. Next slide. Some of the accomplishments of our first online workshop, which was 2016. Again, informal planning kind of began in 2014, and then some more formal planning began in January of 2016. After we looked at a lot of different learning management systems, we eventually decided on a free version of Adobe Presenter that was in our budget, free. So we made our PowerPoint slides, and then we actually just borrowed some gaming headsets to record our lectures. We submitted our courses to the North Dakota Board of Clinical Lab Practice, and that way we were able to issue certificates for the CEUs. And those were free to us too, which was very nice. Approval for all of our CEUs was received late in March of 2016, and we had all 10 of our courses ready and recorded early in April and went live on April 12th of 2016. And then all of those courses were hosted just on our own website with a link to each one. And to get your certificate, which were only North Dakota certificates the first year, the participants had to complete an assessment and an eval in a SurveyMonkey format. And all of those SurveyMonkey surveys, I just tracked manually and made a spreadsheet. And then I went back and created all of the certificates and emailed them out to each individual participant. So that took a lot of time, too. If you were to create a program like this from scratch, I would probably say it takes about 6 months worth of time just to do all of your research and decide which programs you want to use, if you have the right kind of equipment to use, and then get your courses all implemented. Another thing that takes a good deal of time is getting approval from either PACE or your state Board of Clinical Lab Practice to get approval for your continuing education units. Next slide. One of the other issues that we kind of had with hosting an in-person workshop was the amount of space we have available in our laboratory. I know some other facilities have a designated training lab, but we do not. So we just had to use one of our largest BSL-3 capable labs to host the wet part of the workshop. And that's actually our extraction lab. This proved to be kind of difficult, especially if we hosted the workshop in the fall when flu season was starting to ramp up. Due to the size of that laboratory and the biosafety cabinets that we utilized in that lab, we were only able to accommodate up to 20 people per year for the workshop. We would do 5 students per day. And typically we had between 16 and 20 laboratorians enrolled. And if you see the chart on this slide, it goes from 2008 all the way up to 2016. By converting to the online format in 2016, we actually increased our enrollment up to 70 participants that first year from across the state. Next slide. We did do a follow-up survey in November of 2016, which we sent out to all of our participants. And most of the comments that we received back were very positive. So as you can see here, 78% of the participants said that they actually preferred an online workshop. 94% of the participants said that they would participate in another one. And 61% said that the topics were relevant to their job. When we asked them why they participated, 50% said the topics were relevant, 39% said that they participated so they could receive their CEUs, and 11% said that it was because it was free. Next slide. So overall, we got a lot of really positive feedback for converting the workshop to online, as you can see on this slide. I did have a few people, of course, that said they were really sad that we didn't have the in-person workshop anymore. I think part of the experience was that they just liked to come to our lab and see what we did here. So I have assured them it's not, you know, a never. I'm not going to say I will never do an in-person one again, but right now this is working for us, so I think it's a really good thing. Next slide. Sorry, there we go. Some of the takeaways from this project, moving to an online format increased our participation by 30% just in the first year alone. I haven't run my numbers lately, but I know we were well over 400 participants just for 2018 so far, and that's the courses on the TRAIN website. So that's really, really good. Also, our outreach capabilities have expanded. We're able to include not only our 18 Sentinel site laboratories who perform microbiology, but we've opened it up to everyone across the state, and whether they work in microbiology, chemistry, hematology, whatever department they're in. By obtaining the APHL Development of Preparedness Activities grant, I feel that we'll be able to continue to make improvements on the workshop and sustain the courses. And then the most eye-opening thing that I learned here was the cost savings part of it. I estimate that we're saving over $5,000 a year by doing this online versus in person. Next slide. Some more of the lessons we learned. The first one is just research, research, research. Be sure you're researching your software and your equipment. We actually recorded most of our lectures before we started having some problems with our free version of Adobe Presenter. We learned that it really wasn't 100% compatible with a Surface Pro. So that was a good thing to learn. Teamwork. It's always good to ask others for help. It was really surprising to me how many people were willing to give us a hand, even if they didn't want to be speaking on the slides. I had people that just gave us a few slides on CRE or TB, different topics that they had already researched and had information on. And then also reach out to not only your laboratorians, but maybe your epidemiology staff in your state as well. You don't always have to reinvent the wheel. Some staff, maybe they've given a presentation in the recent past that you could use, an influenza update for your state, or something on biosafety research. All you have to do is ask, really. Next slide. So for the future, I would like to maintain our core classes. We have courses on Beanthracis, Francisella, Burkholderia, Yersinia, all of those BT bugs, as you call them. And then I'd like to update some of the other courses to be suited to current pathogens or outbreaks. I want to try to involve more members of our laboratory team here at the Public Health Lab to create and provide courses. I feel like we have some other avenues that we haven't quite tapped yet and other ideas. And then I'm always looking for ways to improve my work. So any suggestions that any of you might have, if you've participated, I'm always open to new topics or improvements, ways we could make this better for everybody. And then the next slide is actually our current courses. The web link to access them is listed right at the top there, and then that link will bring you to that page that I have the screenshot of. Again, they're hosted on Train, so there's a few basic instructions on how to create a Train account if you don't already have one. And then there's links to the individual courses. And we do have PACE credits available through December of 2018 for the ones that are out there right now. The next slide shows a screenshot of one of our courses. When we got the APHL grant in 2017, we hired two contractors to create courses for us. So this one's actually a screenshot of the Incident Command course. And this one was created by a local contractor who specializes in emergency preparedness, safety, and homeland security. This particular course was narrated by one of our newer microbiologists, which is kind of interesting. We were in the last stages trying to get these all recorded, and she thought it sounded like fun to record one, so she volunteered to do it for me, which was really awesome. So another lesson, I guess, there is when I update these, I'll be sure to ask everybody, because you never know who might help you. And then the next slide is a couple more screenshots of our courses. The one on the left is from our CST and Public Health Partnerships course. And that one, we got a lot of great information from our CST team in Bismarck here. And they also supplied us with a lot of awesome pictures. And then the bottom right-hand slide is from the Burkholderia and Yersinia pestis course. And Stacy did a great job with that one. She incorporated a couple of interactive case studies for those organisms. And that is my last slide. So if anyone has questions, I'll open it up for questions.
This is Lorelei, and I just wanted to, so you had a 30% jump when you went to this online.
Yes.
If that's huge. Wow.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and it's also that huge cost savings. But it sounds like overall everything was just really good. Just a couple things, making sure like the communications equipment or the software you're using is compatible and checking that all out. That's the biggie, right?
Yeah.
And then other than that, it was really more people just missing that interaction, some missing that opportunity for interaction face-to-face time.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's really the only negative comment that I received.
Have, with all this technology, have you ever tried anything with the app where you, it lets you, I guess there's some apps that will even let you do things like put in a question. If everybody's using the app, then they can all respond to it. And you can, have you heard of that?
I haven't had any experience with that.
Yeah. I was just wondering if that's something that would complement anything like that, too. But, of course, these are online. You know, those you'd have to kind of do live, wouldn't you?
Right.
They wouldn't have to be recorded.
Like
yeah.
That. Yep.
Yeah. Just curious. Yeah, very good, though. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Hi, Tracy. This is Wendy from Idaho.
Hi, Wendy.
I have a question for you. So have you compared the assessment scores between the in-person wet workshop and the online training at all?
I have not, but I do have that data. That would be interesting to look at.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what changes and if the assessment is similar and comparing that data. Another question, did you offer PACE credit for the classroom course?
Yes, we did. Gosh, it's been a few years. I can't remember how many we offered. It may have been 5.
Okay. All right. Well, that's very helpful. Yeah, I think this is really great. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
I would be interested in that data, too. I think that would be fascinating to see the difference on that, if there's any.
Hey, Tracy. This is Rusty from Nashville.
Hey, Rusty.
How are you? Just a question. Has this impacted or increased the involvement with our LPX exercises that we try to get everyone signed up for with regard to the BT agents?
My LPX numbers stay pretty stable. Of my 18 Sentinel labs, I typically have 14 that participate. And they're rolling in this time. So far, so good. It looks like everyone is doing a pretty good job. I do know that some of the smaller facilities were using some of the core classes to kind of train their new microbiology employees.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's helping. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, I was just curious if they try to maybe replace that with this online training. I was just curious.
Yeah.
All right.
Hi, Tracy.
This is Beth in Iowa.
Hi, Beth.
How are you?
Good.
Great presentation. So did you talk, I don't know if I missed this, so I'm sorry if I'm asking a question that you covered. Are each of the modules for this about an hour, or how long is the whole program?
Most of them are an hour. Some of them are slightly shorter. Sorry about that.
Thank you.
Tracy, this is Catherine in Arizona. I was just curious, how often are you looking at refreshing the content?
My plan is to refresh them every year. Some of those core classes might not change a whole lot. But definitely, I have one on, if I can remember the title myself, Trends and Issues. That's the one I'm thinking of. Trends and Issues in Laboratory Testing, Public Health Lab Testing. That one I kind of want to change up completely every year, because I do just little snapshots of different bugs or whatever, just different current issues, I guess. Like the B. anthracis, the Y. pestis, kind of the meat and potatoes of that won't change a lot. But I would like to make them a little more interactive and try to incorporate some little quizzes and things as you go along, just to make it a little more interesting.
So quick follow-up question. So does the Adobe software allow you to do that interactive component?
I think it does. I just haven't learned how to do it yet. That's my next project.
Hi, Tracy. This is Tina from APHL. I wrote down a couple questions as you were talking.
Okay.
So at the end of your presentation, you talked about hiring a consultant. So how much did that cost?
One of them was $500, and I think the other one was $785 or some, about $700. So it wasn't too bad.
Oh, yeah, that sounds awesome. I didn't click on the link to your training, but is the format basically like people put together a PowerPoint slide and then you have somebody narrate some sort of script and the two files are sort of mushed together so that it's a kind of like a video?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's see what other questions that I have. So you talked about an assessment at the very beginning of your presentation. So is that the sort of like a pre-test, post-test kind of thing?
Yeah. All of mine right now are just a post-test, but that's another thing I'd like to incorporate for the next round, whenever that is, hopefully 2019. I would like a pre and a post so that we can measure the learning a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then my final question is, how do you promote these courses? Is it like a listserv? Are there flyers? How do you make sure that you get traffic to that site so people take the course?
As far as in-state, I've been just emailing it out to our Sentinel Laboratories, and then we also have a bigger listserv that goes to not only Sentinel Laboratories, but other medical facilities in the state. Let's see. That's the main way. And then I've just tried to promote it within our consortium, our Northern Plains Consortium. And then I know the Sentinel Lab Collaborative Work Group, we've also had that information available there.
Great, thank you. Does anyone have any other questions for Tracy? Well, Tracy, I just wanted to say thank you for putting this presentation together. I actually found your abstract through, I think this was presented last year's APHL annual meeting, so.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that would be a really good way to sort of get more mileage out of your work, since this was a lot of work to put together. So I just wanted to say thank you. And for those of you that are planning to come to the APHL annual meeting, I hope that you're registered and that you're ready to go. And we are very much looking forward to seeing you there. And if you have any quality improvement activities that you'd like to share on a future quality improvement forum call, just feel free to send me an email and we'll put something on the calendar. But for right now, have a good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.